Welcome to the Bambushi Happy Hour, and this is part two. How are you, Ma? What's going on?
I'm fine, sweetie. How are you? Everything is wonderful over on this end. Just enjoying the last couple days of the summer. Yeah, looking forward to some upcoming fall holidays.
Well, yeah, but the weather is actually getting hotter as it approaches fall, which I think is funny, but that's Texas for you.
Yeah, and also we may have an Indian summer, which is in October. So, whatever, that's good. I'm enjoying that. As long as the weather is clear and sunny, I'm happy.
Okay. Well, this is part two, so we can kind of just get to it. Ma, you have your toast ready?
And then I'm ready whenever you are.
Some more Ego tequila.
Okay, sounds good to me. Ego tequila is always good.
That is true.
Okay. Long life and prosperity, health, wealth, and happiness. Salud.
Salud.
And safe trip and wonderful trip. Wonderful.
Oh, thank you, Ma.
Okay.
Oh, that always, like I said, hits nice. Like it. Smooth. Mm-hmm. All right, Ma. So we got to get to pop culture. We have some kind of serious topics this week. So to start off with, the Phoenix Suns owner, Robert Sarver. So, people are now calling for his resignation, including LeBron James, Chris Paul, and the Phoenix Suns minority owner, Jahim Nahafi. If I'm mispronouncing it, guys, please forgive me. So the things that were alleged, obviously, several times he has used the N-word after he was told not to, and the people felt uncomfortable. Misogyny. He attacked a pregnant woman saying that she couldn't continue her job as coordinator because she needed to breastfeed. He said that he was against diversity when speaking to a coach. He made several women cry on the job, joked about procuring women for players to have sex with. He spoke about the size of players' genitalia. He pulled down the pants of a employee and exposed them to coworkers. And then he pulled down his own pants and exposed himself to someone who was actually supposed to be helping him with a fitness check. He grabbed a male employee at a Suns holiday party and started dancing with that employee pelvis to pelvis. Like I said, he pulled down several male employees' shorts. He had many anti-gay sentiments. And they said that the treatment towards women, in particular pregnant women and women with young children, was extremely toxic. So Ma, after hearing some of these allegations, do you think that he should actually resign? So he's been suspended for 1 year and fined $10 million. Well, and he's a billionaire.
Well, they will be kind if they let him resign. He needs to be fired. And you didn't need to tell me that he was rich, because I can't imagine a person of moderate or to low income being allowed to stay in that position. Mm-hmm. That is offensive. I take personal affront to all of that type of behavior. It sounds like he's misogynistic, homophobic, racist. What other thing, what other ism can we possibly include? All he right. sounds like he's everything. He needs to be gone. Yeah. He needs to be gone. His money makes him feel like he is, impenetrable. You know, he can just be there and do whatever and behave all sorts of ways and act with impunity. And we've seen this type of behavior too often. Mm-hmm. We've seen it too often, and we should never see it. And it's just like, it's too much. It's too much. It's just what we're starting to see in our government, in our mm-hmm. country. The few ultra rich, uber rich and powerful can just do anything they want.
Right.
you know,
and that's and what's nobody, been happening.
And absolutely. And nobody has any rights or anything. Mm-hmm. And the rest of us are just to be abused and mistreated at will. No, he needs to be gone.
I wish some more players would have spoke out, not just LeBron and Chris Paul. I appreciate them doing that.
Yeah.
Where's a, you know, I don't mean to say anything. Where's a Steph Curry? Where's the KD? Where are these people? You know?
Well, those people, they're how they are.
Wow.
That's why we embrace LeBron and look at some of the rest of them sideways.
Yeah.
Right. That's why. You know, okay. So let's just see how it goes down, because as we speak, you know, the support for his removal may be growing. It may be growing. So let's just see how this all goes down. But absolutely, he needs to be out. He needs to be drop kicked to the curb.
Oh, 100%. Like it should not even be up for discussion at this point. You know, you absolutely. Clearly are not. Absolutely. I don't care if you just because you're the owner doesn't mean that you should treat people the way. Treat people right. like they're trash, like they're less than human. And so he needs to be gone.
You shouldn't treat people badly, irrespective to who you are right. and who they are.
Correct.
You should not treat people, and we all deserve to be treated with respect.
Oh, of course.
So let's
see
how that goes.
Let's see how this plays out. Okay, something else in the news, Ma, is Jesse Williams. You know Jesse Williams. Well, anyway, he's on Broadway, and he was...
That's that handsome doll, Jesse Williams. Yes, I hate to say it, but he is one handsome doll, yes.
Well, yes, he used to be on Grey's Anatomy. Well, he's asked a judge to intervene in his nasty custody dispute with his ex-wife. He said, I recently agreed to perform in the second run of Take Me Out starting in October 2022 and ending in January of 2023. He wrote in court papers, the play is set to start
in November, December, then into the 3-4 months. Whatever.
Right. He said the play is set to start in October of 2022 and run through at least January. I am returning to New York in early October to start rehearsals. I asked Aaron is his ex-wife, honor the court's prior order so I can continue to spend quality time with our children while I'm in New York. Aaron refused. He argued an emergency hearing was necessary so the children and I do not lose our precious custodial time together while I am working on Take Me Out. So the ex-wife has come out and she posted on Instagram, which he did not.
Mm-hmm.
It is good for the health and wellness of a 7 and 8-year-old to be taken out of school. Is it good? Sorry, she said, it's a question mark. Is it good for the health and wellness of a 7 and 8-year-old to be taken out of school on a regular basis, to fly across country overnight on a red eye, to be on the ground for 2 days on her Instagram post? Is it reasonable for them to return dazed and confused and then be expected to pick right up and survive at school the rest of the week? I don't think so. Neither do any of the parents who actually parent on a routine basis. There's a name for the condition of an adult who expects their children to indulge, care, give, and service that adult's desires at the children's expense. And she included the hashtags receipt season. I have stayed quiet far too long. So I don't know what they've been together. They were together for 13 years and they were married for 5. And Jesse Williams at one point was paying $40,000 a month in child support. And then it was reduced to around $7,000 when he left Grey's Anatomy and went on Broadway.
Right.
So what are your thoughts, Ma, on all of this?
My thoughts are that I don't know the particulars. I don't know that she should have been so detailed and explicit on Instagram. I think that's going to come back to hurt her, because she's sharing specific details with the public, whether they're true or not, I don't know. But also the kids' peers can get that information. I don't think she should have done that because that's out for public consumption. And I have an issue with that. Mm-hmm. Okay. When you're dealing with children.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care too much about grown people because we fend for ourselves, whatever, you know, but I think she should not have been so explicit. Whatever's going on between him and her is bad enough. The judge is involved. I have an issue with the judge and courts being involved in family business, unless it's an absolute issue of safety for the children, okay? I don't like that. I think people should put their own foolish egos aside and pride aside and work it out for the children and not include strangers governing your business. I don't like that, period.
I agree. Okay?
However, since it has gone this far, apparently they couldn't work it out, and he did ask for the intervention of a judge, then it should have stayed within the confines of whatever the protocol is to involve the judge. Not go on any social media arguing the specifics and particulars of a custody issue is bad. That's not a good, that was not in her children's best interest, okay? I don't know what the hell he's talking about. He might be talking crazy nonsense that might be disruptive to the children. Like she said, I don't know. You know, I don't know.
Instagram is not the place to handle it.
But right. But she, what I do know is that she should not have done that. She could speak out, but not in the very specific and explicit way that she did.
Right. You
know, that's the issue. That's the issue. And she should have spoke out in a way that was protective of the children, not in a way that seemed that she was angry and just wanted to get, you know, and just was looking for some sort of public support or whatever she was trying to do. I don't know, whatever,
for sure.
You know, so I don't think that was a good move on her part. I'm thinking he wanted to enlist the help of the judge because he had no other recourse. In any event, it's a legal recourse. It's a remedy that we all have access to. So whatever, maybe some of us feel forced to use it. But by her responding to him on social media makes me think she is not reasonable.
Yeah.
And that's not the move. That's not the move. That's not the classy move. That's not the smart move. That's not the move that's in the best interest of your children. So I don't know. I don't know what he's asking for. And to me, I don't think he's asking for the children to be disruptive over here, over there. And kids take days off from school anyway. Some kids don't even go to school. Some kids are homeschooled. I mean, I don't know what the proposals are.
And he was a professor or something, if I'm not mistaken.
So I don't know. And all those things will be taken into consideration whenever whoever's assessing this case assesses it, you know. So I don't know what she's talking about. I don't know how to accept what she said, because to me, I'm hearing her side. I haven't heard his side, except that he wants to spend more time with his kids.
Right.
You know, he didn't go into specific details, when, what, how, where, whatever. And to me, time spent with your parent who cares about you is going to be worth more in the long run than a couple days of hooky or a couple days of homeschooling or whatever.
I don't know
what the hell she's talking about, but whatever.
Well, you know what, Ma? I hate that this is playing out in the public, because obviously whatever is going on with their
family. It's playing out in the public because somebody's not handling their emotions correctly.
Right.
If you're handling your emotions correctly, you ain't hooping and howling up and down the internet about your children.
Right.
Okay. No.
And these are little children, 7 to 8. Yeah. You know they don't know what's going on. I mean, they know a little bit, but they don't know. They can't quite grasp. But
they're only 7 and 8 years old, and that's there. And they have the philosophy and experiences of 7 and 8 year old children. And that's just it. And it is up to their parents to protect them. And she needs to take her ass off social media discussing her children.
Right.
You know, whatever. And that's all going on. Usually when even you have to get the intervention from the courts, somebody's not handling their emotions right.
Oh, I'm in total agreement.
Yeah, because they're supposed to, the court is reluctant to even get involved with these kind of things. They're only there because it's necessary. They're only there because people can't agree. That's the only reason they're up there, you know? So, or sometimes they're there, you know, in cases of illness and different things like that, but those are, you know, emergent situations. But overall, in a situation like this, him and her should be able to sit down and say, look, whatever our stuff is, it's over, it's this or that. I was hurt. I feel bad. I'm sorry things didn't last longer than they did, but we had some good times. We had our children, this and that. Let's get this going so we can work it out for our kids and get on with our lives, you know? Yeah. And that's what they need to do and get the hell off social media. Unless she wants to go on social media with her own business for herself, but not about her children.
Right. I'm in agreement with you, Ma. Let's move on to something a little bit less serious. So let me know if you think this is out of pocket or on the money. So
I'm gonna let you know.
So we talked about Jimmy Kimmel's little lovely skit and Quinta Brunson. So Cheryl Lee Ralph thought Jimmy Kimmel's skit during Quinta Brunson's acceptance speech was disrespectful, and she confronted him. Was Cheryl Lee out of pocket or on the money for confronting Jimmy Kimmel?
See, now I'm going to be a punk on this one. Because I'm going to sort of back out of it. And the reason I say I'm going to be a punk is because I don't know what she said.
Okay.
There's ways that she could confront him that would be okay.
Okay.
And there's ways that she could confront him that would be, whoa, you know, it's not, you know, that serious. I don't think she's wrong to confront him, period. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's okay that she confronted him. But as I said, it's more of an issue of in what manner did you confront him? Did you confront him by saying, you know, you were a... You know, some people will go racial, some people will go this, some people will go that, you know.
I don't think she went there with it because she spoke positively of Jimmy Kimmel.
Well, that's what I'm saying. For that incident. It depends on what she said. Cheryl Lee Ralph, I'm going to just jump out here and hazard a guess. Mm-hmm. I like SLR, Cheryl Lee Ralph, okay? Mm-hmm. I think she's classy and dignified enough, okay, that she would have spoken to him in an open, honest, and mutually, you know, they would have had a mutually respectful conversation. If right. he became wrong, then that would have ended it. That conversation would have been over. And I don't think she would have came in an offensive or vulgar way. Okay, that's what I believe. I could be wrong.
Right.
You know, I wasn't there, I don't know. But just based on what my perception of her is that whatever she said to him would have been from the bottom of her heart and mm-hmm. how she perceived it, and that she thought that, you know, he didn't do the right thing and he could have used better judgment under the circumstances.
I think that sounds about right to me, Ma. I don't know, exactly what happened, but I do know that.
I think that was perfectly fine because everybody has different level of a sensitivity.
I think this was on the money for the most part, unless she cursed him out and called him like is it.
You know, I'm inclined to go along with you. As I've continued to talk and think about it, I'm inclined to think that it was appropriate for her to say what she felt. Nothing wrong with that. That was okay.
Yeah. And she's, you know, the older statesman on the show, and she probably was very protective.
And not only that, and which was wonderful, not only that, but also the fact that she has a real appreciation and real experience that even is deeper than Jimmy Kimmel's.
Yeah.
So, you know, like you said, she is the elder statesperson in this scenario.
Yeah. So I'm okay with her doing that.
All right, me too. I am too, daughter. I am too.
Okay, and then here is another serious topic that, you know, we have to discuss. So Chrissy Teigen says her well-documented miscarriage in 2020 was actually an abortion to save her life. Let's just call it what it was. It was an abortion, she told the crowd in Beverly Hills. And she said, an abortion to save my life for a baby that had absolutely no chance. And to be honest, I never ever put that together until actually a few months ago. The model and cookbook maven was one of a group of speakers at the event designed to bring together activists and television creators to encourage more nuanced characters and storylines. She went on to explain why the painful decision was necessary. It became very clear around halfway through that he would not survive and that I wouldn't either without any medical intervention. The loss was the subject of a widely shared Instagram post that has accumulated over 11 million likes. So she is currently pregnant right now.
Yeah.
So, Ma, what are your thoughts
with
on
her fourth child, right? Her fourth pregnancy.
This is fourth pregnancy, but this will
third
be
child.
Right.
Right.
What are your thoughts on Chrissy Teigen's revelation?
Okay. My first thought, I saw this and I read about it somewhat.
Okay.
Sort of superficially. I didn't really delve that deeply into it because my first thought, and it may be my last thought, is that Chrissy Teigen, that John has a problem on his hands and he's a very loving man because she's too much. My thought about her was, why are you going there? If you're not talking about activism for abortion or reproductive rights, not abortion rights, but women's reproductive rights, women's human rights, if you're not advocating for that, why is it this discussion? I'm not sure. I heard what you said, but to me, she's always, always, always looking for the microphone. To me, she's a microphone hog. To me, there was no reason for her, a married woman who's had two children on her fourth pregnancy, and we all know that there was complications and problems because that last baby did not live. She didn't need to delve into that. To me, there was no reason for it. And it's almost a matter of semantics because babies are born dead, baby, you breech birth, there's this, there's that, there's all type of complications that go on. And to even fall into the category of calling it an abortion, maybe it was a medically required abortion, maybe that's what she calls it. To me, she's blurring the issue. And that's not the issue. And that's not what she should be on there talking about. And she needs to let that move past. She needs to let that go. That's her and John and their family. And she already came out to the public and explained that she lost the baby or the baby died or the baby was ill or whatever story she told initially. She needs to let that go. She don't need to come out and say, oh, but it was really an abortion. It was not a traditional abortion in the sense that we think of abortion.
Right.
It was not.
It was not.
And, and she's blurring issues when she comes out there with that. And to me, she's just looking for something to run her mouth about and include herself. She's not talking about health care, you know, prenatal care, abortion rights, re-implementation of Roe v. Wade. She's not talking about anything that is critical. You know, she's talking about her experience, and she already talked about it.
And so for me, I was a little offended by her comments because I think obviously,
right?
You know, as a woman, you know, with abortion rights, this is not to me, right?
Yeah.
She said what she said 2 years ago. And, you know, she was very sad. She was very depressed. And we
felt sad for her and John.
Right.
Yeah.
And for her to come out and, you know, say that, it was an abortion. It wasn't an abortion, like you said.
The fine print, it's still not a traditional type of abortion.
Right. The only thing that I will say is that there are some states, there are very few states who, because of what happened with Roe, with the overturning of Roe versus Wade, that they won't allow for a non-traditional abortion. There are a couple of states, the majority
Of
them.
Now, not when she experienced that.
Right.
And the other thing is that did she even make that connection and bring it on to reproductive rights?
Right. And she
didn't even go there. She didn't even go there with it, where you could have possibly justified her conversation,
right?
Possibly justified that when she brings it to something that will impact potentially hundreds of thousands of women.
Right.
She didn't even take it there. You know,
I agree. I was really disappointed in Chrissy.
It's just like pass the mic. I got something I want to say. To me, pass the mic. That's all it seemed like to me.
Yeah. So, you know,
I said to myself, John is a sweet guy. He seems to be, but he got a damn problem on his hands with that woman.
Well, he loves her, and I think she loves him, and you know,
whatever. He got a problem with her hands.
I just, you know, hope positive vibes for Chrissy and him, and with the new baby. That's what I'm hoping for, because Chrissy's too much, you know. And Chrissy's she's just too much, you know. Are you an activist, or you are an attention seeker? And so that's my issue with her.
There you go.
Okay, so Ma,
on that daughter.
So we're gonna change it up, and we really are gonna go a little bit lighter and, you know, more fun. So we're gonna talk about Married at First Sight. But I was reading an article, an MSN article, and they talked about 10 things that a lot of fans have issues with when it comes to Married at First Sight. So number one, Ma, the show damages how people view relationships. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
You want to expand, or is just yes?
Just going, you got 10 to read. Come on.
Okay. All right. It doesn't.
You want me to talk?
It doesn't value or respect.
It's a distorted view of everything from the very inception.
Okay.
You just walk up to a stranger and get married. That's already crackpot. Okay.
Well, they're saying that young people need to see healthy relationships in the media when they're trying to figure out the world.
Of course they do. And it's already unhealthy to meet somebody and marry them. Yeah. It's unhealthy from the very inception, because you don't even know them. So you're already going into all types of Pandora boxes, and you don't have the social supports for even that kind of situation. Whereas back in the day, they had, you know, prearranged marriages, the families arranged marriages, everything. That was all part of a social system and a structured system where the entire communities and families supported that and were there to help you and there for this and there to listen and there to this and there that. Now you do that, you just a crackpot.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what you get. You didn't know him. He could have been anybody. She could have been any type of person. Oh, you didn't know. You have no supports for that. You already fighting a losing battle from the very beginning. So, of course, it gives a very perverted view of what a relationship is supposed to be.
But I also think it's television, and you can't really take serious what you see on TV. And I think
that's the problem. That's the problem. It blurs. It blurs the line. That's a whole part of the problem, because they're saying it's a real marriage.
And that's true.
And we're looking at these people hoping that they get along. And guess what? One out of a million do.
Okay.
So you understand? So it's an uphill battle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So number two, it doesn't value or respect the sanctity of marriage. And we kind of touched on that. With what
absolutely.
You just said.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. There's no sense of commitment. There's like, you know, 8 weeks and I'm out. There's no sense of privacy. Here's Dr. Pep, Dr. Vivi. Well, used to be Dr. Vivi. Well, I'm sorry, she left. Here's Pastor Cal. Here comes Devin Franklin looking for answers for his own stuff, I'm sure. And on and on and on, you know, well, new doctor and all that. You know, that all that's a perversion of what really goes on in a brand new marriage.
Well, let me segue into that, Mom, because the environment is too stressful for new relationships.
Absolutely.
Obvious, the cameras, you know, absolutely, the interviews.
Did you say you love them?
Right.
Did you go to bed with him yet?
Right. Can you please do that again so we can record that?
When did you last go to bed with that man that you don't even live in the house with?
Right. Right. This is too much.
Pastor Cal, when you last been home? You on the road all the time. When you last been home? But Dr. Vivi, that's why Dr. Vivi left. She said she want her man, she going on my home. Or woman or whatever she got. She said she going on home later for that show.
Number four, the experts select people that lack commitment or have other roadblock issues.
Always. Half of them got a husband or wife at home.
No, they don't.
Other people they seeing.
Well, how about
other people they see? Wait a minute. And they don't even stay in the same apartment with them no more. They used to move in with them. Now they like, hey, look, I'm going over my crib. I'll see you later.
No,
you know, it's ridiculous.
Well, I think that they all have, a lot of them have commitment issues, which is why they came to a
commitment to the people that they marry, but they are committed to other people. Or
no, they're not.
Some of them are. Don't hear me that. One of them came one day and he had a woman pregnant. And
And but then she didn't, but then that faded away. Something about that wasn't right. Remember?
Well, whatever they wanted to do.
Was it Chris?
Well, whatever. Yeah, Chris. But wait, you can say what you want to say. Chris didn't spend any night with Paige. He didn't even move in.
Okay. Something else, Ma. This one is real silly. There's too much glad you're entertaining yourself. Good, Ma. There's too much corny music.
You know, I can't even hear the damn music for all the nonsense going on. You may be right. Whoever said that, I can't even hear their music for all the nonsense. You know, go ahead.
The experts can be snippy.
You are right. Whoever said that, good music would help out the show.
Yeah, the experts can be snippy with the cast. I don't think they're snippy enough with the cast.
As far as I'm concerned, the experts are very chill. But you know what? A lot of times the experts don't deal with what the real problem is. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times the experts, they don't call out people for what they see is going on.
No. You know,
a lot of times they skirt right over. A lot of times the experts act like they have a script that they have written out beforehand. So they just read from the script and ignore what really did happen between the couples.
It's almost like I've seen Pastor Kyle just say, oh, well, it's not that bad. You know, just work through it. Yeah. Don't worry. It's going to get better. I'm like, no, it's not going to get better. Y'all are not compatible.
I love how they are right now sitting there with that Morgan acting like she's a loving person and she's like a dragon spewing fire, you know, and they haven't said a word to her.
She's like a little demon on the show.
Ben is the one who's in need of this, that, and the other thing. And in fact, Ben is a sweetie.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Morgan, we don't know you. You came on the show, no disrespect, but the way you're acting on the show is not good, young lady. Not good.
Yeah, I agree.
Number 7, some pairs are created just for drama. Now, sometimes they have pairs of their mind who are the just complete opposites. Like literally, they'll say, oh, I want somebody that's stable. And then they'll bring somebody that doesn't have a job.
Everything.
Or I want kids. The other person totally doesn't correct. Want kids.
There's only one thing I'm going to add to that. I think most of them are created for drama. Not just a couple. They have gone the route that almost all of them are just for drama.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, sweetie.
Number 8, there are people who are only there for themselves.
Yeah.
Like for the fame. For the fame.
Yeah, the cat.
We just kind of said that's pretty much all of them, right?
Yeah. At least 9 out of 10.
Production is too demanding, number 9.
I don't know how much is production and how much is them. I mean, it is a production.
Remember we saw Paige? Remember Paige and Chris and she was leaving Chris.
And production told her to go back over. But I don't think production could really call that if it was, you know, if it was a different type of person. I think they call that BS on Paige because it was Paige. I've heard production try to calm things down and the person wouldn't calm them down. Remember that old nasty one, Alyssa, that was over there? Get him away from me.
Yeah. I was a good person. You mean the person, the woman that's a good person?
That really good person. They couldn't do nothing with her. Hey, they couldn't make Chris go sit his ass down and go on over there. They could, some of them production, you know, it depends on who it is, because some of that production cannot deal with, right?
Yes, and finally.
But they're going to call in security, you know.
And finally, the experts seem to overlook and normalize toxic behavior.
All the time. I co-sign on that 1,000,000%. All the time. Let's keep the show going. Oh, no, just because he called you a bunch of bees and refused to stay in the house with you and told you you need to go wash and everything else. Hey, no, that's fine. You know, that's just love talk. Oh, y'all will be all right. You know.
Yeah, it's love talk.
And look at Dr. Pepper. Look, I don't even live in a house with my husband. He lives over.
How about that's not normal?
I don't know what year I even saw him. And we're fine.
How about that's not normal?
If somebody said to Dr. Pepper, I think it was Pastor Cal said, I didn't know that. She said, yeah, why don't you do that? We don't live together. He lives with those other 5 women.
Hold on, say why can't she live with five men? Why are you always calling at the
I'm
man?
Not finished. I'm not finished. I'm not finished. And I live with my lifelong butler.
Butler? What?
Chauffeur, whatever man, whatever name
she Why can't she have five men?
Well, she's in love. He's just hoeing. So it's a big difference. Oh.
Good, my good. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Well, all right.
She lived in the house with her husband. That was hysterical. I'm like, oh God, Dr. Pepper. They got you up here advising people. Good.
Right. So let's just talk. We don't have to go too deep in if you want, but let's just get into the current couples on Married at First Sight. Lindy and Miguel.
I don't know what's up, but they seem you say what you want to say. They're the most pleasant ones they got up there.
Yeah, but I'm not feeling them.
I'm not saying that they're a good couple, but out of the bunch up there,
yeah,
the standards are very low. Yeah. You know? So hey, you know, at least they're together. And Miguel says he really likes Lindy. He's really into her, whatever. I mean, they skipped all about what happened about the insurance and all them fights, and I don't even know what happened to any of that. But yeah, whatever. So they was out dancing. They was going over dancing. This is past episode. So good. Let them go dance on.
Stasha and Nate, they just seem corny to me.
Let me tell you one thing. Nate did one thing that I just totally respected. Mm-hmm. And that was when he called out Morgan. He said, what's with all the anger? He said, every time I see you, he said, I see Ben and he's calm and he's talking and everything. I see you and you spewing fire. You know, every time, you know, you're always so full of anger. You know, what really is this? Well, I'm hate. You know, and it was like, no, but you know, no, what is all that? And nobody else called her out on that. And she's been a nasty person from the very beginning. And you know what? And there was a little bit of foreshadowing because she was nasty when Ben was sick. She had said something, I forget what it was, but it showed a lack of sensitivity, a lack of empathy when he was sick before they had even met each other.
Oh yeah, with COVID, you mean?
Yep, yep. And she said something that was very cool, I can't remember, but she said something that showed that she was not a caring person, you know? So, and I respected Nate for saying that because he called her on it and it was true. Yeah. It was not biased or anything. He called her on what was true and what should have been apparent to everybody, but nobody called her on it.
Yeah, you know? That's true.
Even Dr. Pep and all those, nobody called her on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no, go ahead, sweetie.
How about Mitch and Christian? And I don't know, I think that Christian seems to be very level-headed. And, you know, Mitch is trying.
Yeah.
I mean, the way he started and the way they are now, it seems like it's a possibility that they could work things out. Like, to me, out of all the couples, they seem to be the most realistic.
Yeah, I'm so surprised that they've made this type of progress. Yeah. And I'm surprised in a good way, because whatever's going on, you can see them making an honest effort with the communication.
Right.
And really like that. Neither one of them just shut down. You know, they had their fusses, their fights, their nasty attitudes, this and that. But neither one of them shut down. They still at it and talking and, well, let's see what we can do. Well, let's see what we could, you know. And I like that, because as long as you can communicate, almost everything is possible. They still in the same, under the same roof, they live together and they talk together and they do things together. So, you know, let's see. They've made a big change. Kristen is not letting him pull his bull crap 24/7. You know, she's speaking up for herself and he's, you know, stopping and thinking a bit, you know, before he come at his face with all his nastiness and selfish nonsense.
Okay, well,
it's certainly the most improved couple.
For sure. And finally, well, not finally, Alexis and Justin. I was really upset. And we talked about this when Justin surrendered his dog, when he kept didn't take his dog back. I really didn't like that. Me listen, too. He had the dog for 7 years.
I didn't.
You knew this woman for 7 minutes.
Are you out of your damn mind? Chances of you being with this woman 7 years are almost zero. Are you out of your mind and you let your dog go? I couldn't have done it. I couldn't have done it. I would have, and then, you know, and he left his dog out there. Then, you know, they had said that the plan was that he was going to maybe bring the dog back. If it didn't work out, the dog would go over with his friend. Or they had all these other different plans that were so much more kind and humane. And you leave your dog out there on that farm with them. What is that? I couldn't have done it. I couldn't. And the dog didn't kill anybody. Didn't wound anybody to that extent.
And Alexis, you know, as a dog lover, to me, like, she's a fake dog lover, because if she's a dog lover, she wouldn't have advocated for that. She wouldn't have, because she was just before like, oh, well, it's either me or the dog. She was saying all that stuff before.
And so I'm like, any place where I don't feel safe. Alexis is doing nothing but just looking for any excuse she can.
She don't like that man.
On decision day, she can say, oh, well, A, B, C, D, E, I'm out. Yeah. And you know what? And you know what? If he has even a pea brain, he'll say, good. He'll say, let me stick to my agreement to hang out for 8 weeks and go through this process. And at the end of that 8 weeks, if she doesn't say I'm out, which I'm pretty sure she will, he needs to say, I tried it, not for me. Not this time.
I don't know, because Justin is easily manipulated by Alexis, and he.
Well, you know what? Then he
too
will
much
suffer.
With her.
Let me tell you something, baby. Then he will suffer. We all suffer when we do foolish things.
Yeah,
we pay for it. We pay the price.
Yeah.
So I don't care who you are. When we do foolish crap, we all pay a price, okay?
That's true.
So if he's going to hang out with her, if he's going to stay in that relationship where he sees that it's nothing but him constantly apologizing for what? For some phantom BS that he never even did. And he's always apologizing to her, but yet she's never wrong. It's never anything. He's always, anything he does is never good enough. It's never right. I'm hurt, babe. Well, hurt for what? Hurt for what? You know, no, she's full of it. And then he's going, you see, he's a goofball. He had a 19-year-old brother beating on him, and he was 13.
He was 13, right.
So, you know, he's already tender and goofy, you know. But let's just say he's grown beyond that, okay? Because it's still, he was
because he's in his 30s. So.
Yeah, so let's just say he's grown beyond that. But then she's going to come over here and manipulate you and this and that and everything. That's you, baby. You know, we all got one brain. So, you know, whatever.
Okay. And finally, the last couple is Morgan and Ben, and we didn't have anything good to say about them, obviously. Morgan is
walk
just
away. Walk away, Ben.
Not something away. Is wrong with Morgan, the way
something
she handles things.
Ben is nice, but I don't think Ben is sexually or physically attracted to her. I don't think he finds her.
Why is he trying to work it out with her, Ma?
Well, because he's that nice guy. You understand? He's that nice guy. But the way he referred to her, and when they remember they talked about sexual.
You know, I don't believe that there's that many nice guys. There are some, but
he's a nice guy.
He is behaving nicely with her, but
he's easygoing on this show.
Yeah, he's easygoing.
Because she should have been told off a long time ago.
Oh, for sure.
And he's just been apologizing. He's another one. Between him and Justin, they're almost birds of a feather.
That's why they're friends.
Well, then there you go. You know? Sometimes opposites attract too, but they have very similar personalities. He's always apologizing to Morgan for what? Why is she so hurt? She started the lion ball rolling. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to talk about who started the ball rolling, she told the first lie talking about she had some type of credential she didn't have, whatever it was.
Right.
Now, I don't say that that was a major, a huge lie, anything like that, but she lied. Has his lies been that big? His lies have not been big.
No.
You know?
Well, my issue is that most people have somebody that they can talk to about what's going on in their life.
And she's trying to deprive him of a confidant, of course.
Right. And she's like, why don't you come to me?
Alexis needs to shut the hell up, because is Alexis supposed to be going back telling her?
Right.
I'm not even sure about that.
Right. That should have been a private conversation between husband and wife.
I mean, so what is going on with all that? And then I don't think that Ben is saying anything that outrageous about this woman. I don't think he's saying anything that outrageous. He may be frustrated. He may be venting. And so what?
Yeah. Well, I'm hurt.
You know, have these people ever been in any relationship before?
Doesn't appear that way, Ma. They appear very immature.
Alexa, she's had 3 marriage proposals. I believe that, like I believe that the moon is purple. And we've had different color moons, but I've never seen it purple yet. Okay. Well,
I mean, maybe when she was a kid, somebody asked to marry her.
Those little Tom Thumb weddings.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was.
She hasn't had any serious adult marriage proposals. No way. Because anybody who gets to know her, they ain't trying to marry her. No.
Well, it's not a good look. And I don't like how Alexis is treating Justin. I don't like how Morgan is treating Ben because she's
outrageous.
She's too immature to be married.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Stasha and Nate, I'm really not sure even how to assess their whole thing. I was feeling Nate's father. I thought he had just a wonderful attitude when he said, how could he not? He wanted his children with him, you know, and I love that. I love that because she was saying, oh, how did you do it? How'd you as a single father? Mm-hmm. And he was like, I had to. How could I not? I wanted my children with me. And I was happy. You know, I was loving him for saying that. That was really good. And you can see how, you know, there's some sensitivity, has been instilled in Nate by way of example, you know. Yeah. And so not that he's hypersensitive, but there's some level of sensitivity, you know. And I do like that. So now those two together, I don't know. But that little interaction with Nate's father, I liked a lot. I like that a lot.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens with the next episodes. But to me, this last episode was just okay. It was all right.
Oh, it was a big snooze fest. I mean, it was not exciting, but you know. But you know, we got to look at some things and you know, they were able to share some of their insights. Okay.
Ma, I need you to tell me 3 things that made you smile.
The sun, the stars, and the moon.
All right. Steph Curry is rumored to potentially sign an Under Armour contract worth $1 billion to extend his contract. Now, he currently has a contract with Under Armour, Ma, that expires in 2024 and is worth $20 million. So that's a big jump. Let's give a round of applause for Roger Federer, who is retiring. It's a little bittersweet, but he's also a 20-time Grand Slam champion. He's 41 years old. He will play one more tournament. Where is that? In London. But what is it? The ATP World Finals in November. So yay, all right, Roger.
Yay, Roger.
And then finally.
I've enjoyed you so much throughout the years, Roger. You've been a gentleman and a scholar. And really have been.
And then finally, Ma, I was going to
congratulate.
I would like to congratulate the fabulous Viola Davis, who is getting stunning reviews for The Woman King. And we will, you know, give our review on that at a later date. However, I noticed as we were recording this podcast, they're saying boycott The Woman King. And there's some information that we have to discuss about it on another podcast.
Okay,
where there's some controversy with it.
Okay.
So, so my, you know, I'm going sailing. I'm excited about it. I'm really excited.
So wait a minute. I want a souvenir from every port of call. I want something from Jamaica.
Time for all that, Mom.
I want something from Jamaica. I want some slice of rum cake from Jamaica.
But I can't bring that back.
Oh, well, what can you
customs?
Bring? You can't bring weed, right? Now, I mean, I don't smoke that anyway, but you know, just in case. What can you bring? I want something from Jamaica. Okay.
Good. We have to get Terry Buxton back on the show.
Something from Mexico.
Okay.
Something from Mexico. You can bring me something delicious. I'll take anything, some churros or anything. Well, I eat Mexican food all the time.
Mom, we cannot bring food back.
But then bring me a lovely tapestry or a hat or something, jewelry from Mexico. Yeah, bring me earrings from Jamaica, from Mexico. Bring me something lovely from the Cayman Islands. Bemidjuri.
All right, Ma. Is that what you were going to say?
Where would you go in Mexico, Cayman, Jamaica? What else did I leave out? Didn't I leave out something?
I don't know. I'm sure you'll remember later.
I know the Portugal better than you. Okay, but I want just a pair of earrings. Don't worry, daughter. They don't have to be expensive. You know that. You know I can wear very inexpensive jewelry. You know, so don't worry. They don't have to be
cheap. Why you want me to get you cheap jewelry?
Well, because I want a lot of it. I want a pair from every port of call.
Okay. All right, Ma.
Okay? No. If I can't go on the trip, then I'm getting some lovely souvenirs. I'm only kidding, daughter. No, you just get me whatever souvenir you want to get me, okay? But just make sure you get me some souvenirs. Don't come back to Galveston without some souvenirs, okay?
Well... Okay, thanks, Ma. Is there anything?
Don't come back to anywhere in the United States without some souvenirs, okay?
Good, Ma. Is that what you wanted to say to our listeners?
Yes, that is what I wanted to say. No, listeners, take care. Enjoy your last, oh my goodness, we don't even have a full week. Your last, we only have a few more days for summer. Enjoy your last few days of summer And guys, be mindful. Election time is creeping up on us. You know, in all sincerity, please go vote, please.
When this episode airs, Ma, I think it actually will be fall.
Yeah. Well, you know what it is. It's election time and it's time for you all to go vote. If you haven't registered, please make sure you register to vote. Don't forget, all you have to do is, you know, when you go vote, you're just going to press a button or a number of buttons or whatever. It's 1, 2, 3. Please, guys, don't forget to vote. And that is with all sincerity and all seriousness. The gravity cannot be exaggerated. We are fighting to hold on to our way of life.
Yes.
Believe me, guys, please go vote.
Yes, guys, go vote. Be safe. And we will see you soon or talk to you soon, guys. Bye.
Bye.